I want to spend some time with you on a very important message that I firmly believe that the Lord directed me to speak to this church today. I believe that there are miracles in the happening right now. And I believe you're in the right place at the right time for this message. I want you to pay very close attention to this pastor this morning and what God is speaking through me to you. Even putting this message together, it brought me back many great memories of seeing God do things for people that they could not do for themselves. And if you have a Bible with you today, I want you to turn with me over there to the Old Testament, 2 Samuel chapter 5, verses 17 through 25. Now when the Philistines heard that they had anointed David king over Israel, all the Philistines went up to search for David, and David heard of it and went down to the stronghold. The Philistines also went and deployed themselves in the valley of Rephaim. So David inquired of the Lord, saying, "Shall I go up against the Philistines? Will you deliver them into my hand?" And the Lord said to David, "Go up, for I will doubtless deliver the Philistine into your hand." So David went to Baal Perazim, and David defeated them there. And he said, "The Lord has broken through my enemies before me like a breakthrough of water." Therefore he called the name of that place Baal Perazim. And they left their images there, and David and his men carried them away. Then the Philistines went up once again and deployed themselves in the valley of Rephaim. Therefore David inquired of the Lord, and he said, "You shall not go up. Circle around behind them and come upon them in front of the mulberry trees. And it shall be when you hear the sound of marching in the tops of the mulberry trees, then you shall advance quickly. For then the Lord will go out before you to strike the camp of the Philistines." And David did so as the Lord commanded him, and he drove back the Philistines from Geba as far as Gezer. This is a very unique story found in the Old Testament, something that would help all of us if we would permit the Lord to speak to our heart today. I want you to look at your neighbor for a moment and say, "I'm going to get my breakthrough today." If you don't have a neighbor sitting by you, say it out loud anyhow. "I'm going to get my breakthrough today." The story tells a deep spiritual truth to all that will stop and listen to it. There's a lot of spiritual depth in these scriptures that will enlighten you and give you opportunity to see victory in your life. Victory that is needed. Victory that is required for you to have a life of happiness and joy. A life full of the power of God, a life moving that is faithful towards God, and a life that has a faith in God, knowing that God is able to do all things. He is able to deliver you, and He's able to set you free. He's able to heal you. He's able to prosper you. He's able to help you in every area of your life. There's nothing that God cannot do. It's beautiful when you think about how the Lord is in your life. When you look at Jesus speaking in John 15, he said, "You are nothing without me." But when you read about what Paul wrote in Philippians in chapter 4, in verse 13, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. So what we can take from those two scriptures, that without God, nothing's going to happen. But with God, everything has been in our life a strength that God has put there. And that we can do everything because the power that's in us takes all our impossibilities and makes them possible. So if you're here today thinking this is impossible, I've got news for you. If God is in your life, it's not impossible. David must have thought this was going to be pretty impossible to defeat these Philistines. They were a very strong army, an army that was devious and disliked vehemently David and the Israelites. Wanted to destroy them. So David did, the very wise thing, the smart thing, the prayerful thing. He inquired of the Lord, shall I do this? And the Lord said, go ahead. Go on and meet them. You know, the unique part of this is that David also needed a breakthrough in his life right now. He had yet now to go and take the citadel of Zion yet. He had to go claim Jerusalem. So he was in between claiming Jerusalem and just becoming the anointed king. He needed some breakthroughs in his life. And God sent him to a place called the Valley of Rephaim, or the Valley of Giants. And that is where he received his breakthrough. You see, we want God to lead us to the valley of small things, the easy things. Take us to where we can relax during this battle. Take us to where it's not too difficult. Take us to where, even if you're not involved, God, we can still make it work. But no, God took him to a valley of giants. If you study out Rephaim, you'll know that this was a people that were large, tall, warring people. And the valley was named after them because of the land that they once possessed. So if you take the symbolism of this, David is being led into a battle against the Philistine army, representing actually the armies that wanted to destroy God's work on this earth. And he sends them into a valley of giants. And David goes there with an army that's not as strong as and does not have the ability to defeat. But God said, go. Now, I want you to think for a moment in your own life, if you don't mind, taking for a moment into perspective where you are with God today, what he has asked you to do, and what giants are in front of you that are keeping you from going forward for the Lord Jesus Christ. I'm talking about the giants in your life that are there, that are capable in your mind to control you and to keep you from restoration, to keep you from receiving the fullness of God's promise in your life. Ponder those things, meditate upon those things, but don't hang on to those things. Know that God wants to give you a breakthrough today. God wants to bring into your life an appointed time, like he's doing for David here, an appointed time where you'll face the giants of your life that are holding what belongs to you and are tormenting you because of who you see yourself as. You know, the giants in our life like to speak to our minds and or our hearts and try to control our emotions and try to speak into our life that we would be deviated from what God has for us. I received a promise from God and I am saved. I know that today. I'm baptized with the Holy Ghost in power. I live a sanctified, holy life, but I keep listening to these giants in my life. These giants that come and tell me that I'm not any good, that I'll never make it, or the giants of depression, or the giants of despair, the giants of failure, the giants that want to tell me that I could never be as good as. But remember, God promised you something. And the Bible declares that we serve a God, the only one true God, who cannot lie. So if God has spoken it, it's real. If God has said it, it's going to happen. And David named this place Baal-perazim, literally the Lord of the breaking forth, the Lord of bursting forth. He went there and he saw a breakthrough for his life and for Israel. How many today, and you can answer this if you wish, in your own heart, or you can look at your neighbor and say, this is for me. But how many today would love to have a breakthrough in their home, a breakthrough in their life, a breakthrough on their job, a breakthrough in their own personal existence and their own relationships with other people? How many need a breakthrough in this house today? Would you raise your hands before him today and worship him? I believe God is going to give a breakthrough today. Now you have a witness that you have to do here in your own life. Let me reference the witness that you need to have. You are either going to be an either or here. Numbers 13, 30 and 33. Then Caleb quieted the people before Moses and said, let us go up at once and take possession, for we are able to overcome it. They sent a reconnaissance mission into Canaan. This was their first entrance into the promise that God had said that they could have. 12 men, each one a leader from the tribe of Israel. They go in and come back. 10 of those men say no. 2 of them say yes. God promised. Please hear me. God promised. 10 said no. 2 said yes. God promised that that is the land that he was giving them. He sent a reconnaissance mission in there to view the land, to bring a report back to Moses so Moses would know how to enter the land. 31 and following in Numbers 13. But the men who had gone up with him said, we are not able to go up against the people, for they are stronger than we. I want to just intervene right here and tell you that 100% of the time when God calls you to do something, you're going to run into things that are stronger than you to stop you from doing it. God is putting them there so you will learn to trust wholeheartedly on the Lord your God and to move forward in what God has called you to do. Not to say a statement that no, we can't, or no, I can't, or no, we shouldn't, or I shouldn't. God has said it's yours. Take it. It's yours. Embrace it. It's yours. Be captivated by it. It's yours. Move into it. And they gave the children of Israel a bad report of the land which they had spied out, saying, the land through which we have gone as spies is a land that devours its inhabitants. And all the people whom we see in it are men of great stature. In other words, I'm not going there because the report is everybody that goes in there dies. Their ministry is over. Their marriage is over. Their life is over. Their hope is gone. They get devoured. If you study out the word devour, it's a strong word. It means to destroy, to annihilate, to take apart where it will not work again. Devour, it becomes invisible. And always, there's always great people that seem to be of great stature that will want to stop you from what God has for you. There we saw the giants. The descendants of Anak came from the giants. And we were like grasshoppers in our own sight. And so we were in their sight. Doesn't matter how small you are. It's how big you are in faith. Doesn't matter how little you may think you are, it's how large you are in your faith in God. They could have taken the land that day. They could have walked in there and God would have led them in there and they could have taken that land. But instead, they saw themselves as people that could not instead of people that could. It cost them 40 years total of wandering outside the land of promise. Some never to see the very beauty of that land, dying in the wilderness during that time. Joshua and Caleb, they came back for seconds because they never lost hope of what God had promised them. Never lost one iota of faith in a God that had delivered them from the taskmaster's whip in Egypt and led them out of Pharaoh's domain, across a desert area, across a separated Red Sea, and watched the armies of Pharaoh be devoured by the Red Sea, never to come after them again. Now it's time to embrace the promise, and the giants go boo. And they say, we can't. You see, what we have to understand, it's not what the enemy appears to be, it's what we can be and what we are in the sight of God. We are His children. We are the called of the Holy One of Israel. We are sanctified and filled with His power and His knowledge of His Word indwells within us. The wisdom of His mercy and grace leads us down the paths of righteousness for His name's sake. He anoints our head with oil and our cup runneth over. We seek the face of the Lord in the house of God, and oh, that we may dwell in His altars forevermore. Amen. God has promised your breakthrough is needed for you to grow and for you to be strong in the power of His might. God spoke the promise. They simply believed, and they wanted to go in. God spoke the promise, 10 simply disbelieved, and they didn't go in. Your reaction today can have a domino effect on those in your circle of influence. Your response to God's calling you into what He has for you can cause an ill effect or a great positive effect in those in your circle of influence. You can affect your circle of influence by your response to God, either positively or negatively. You can cause a desert experience, or you can cause a brook experience. You can eat at the tables of the Lord, or you can be without, because God came to you to strengthen you and to bless you and to encourage you and to take you into the land of promise, into the land of your future, into the land of the hope that you want to say and confess so loudly. He is at the door saying, come now. But the giants are in front of you. Like Peter. Jesus called him out to the water. He stepped out of the boat. But when he stepped out of the water and he realized, I'm walking on water, four things happened. Failure came into his mind. This is impossible. I'm a fisherman. I've had to step out of the boat before. When the nets fell off, somebody had to go in and get it. I didn't walk to them. I had to sink and swim to them. This is not possible. Failure. Secondly, frustration. If this didn't happen before, how can it happen now? This frustrates me even that I have to think about it. Frustrations of the past. Failures of the past. Thirdly, fear. I'm doing something that's impossible, and it scares me. I'm going out to where Jesus is calling me, out of my comfort zone into his comfort zone. You see, Jesus' comfort zone is different than your comfort zone. Your comfort zone's got you all wrapped up in a cuddly. You got your little booties on. You got everything. You got the TV going. You got the coffee, the tea, the hot chocolate. You got the phone right by you. You got the little remote right there. And you're just all in your cuddly blanket, all wrapped up, and you are comfortable, and man, you've got a life. Then Jesus says, come out! Come forth! You got to take your cuddly blanket down. You got to shut off the TV and put your remote to the side. You got to get your little booties off and put on shoes. You're going to have to go out into his comfort zone. I'm going to tell you right now, living in the comfort zone of God is much better than living in the comfort zone of humanity. It's a more secure zone. It gives you life. It gives you prosperity. It gives you healing. It gives you inner strength. It gives you wisdom. It gives you knowledge. It gives you God in the fullness of his power. Amen. Yeah. Yeah. And then fourthly, the futilities of his life came upon him. It keeps him from victory. He kept him. Peter did not receive a breakthrough that day because of those things in his life. They came upon him. Those giants just hit him. And he sunk. But Jesus picked him up. And I believe today, anybody by the sound of my voice, Jesus is here to pick you up. And to take you in and set you on a secure ground. Amen. Amen. And it's not a boat, but it's the revelation that he is the King of Kings and the Lord of Glory. Hallelujah. It's him that causes us to cry out to him. We have a real problem in life. We love looking to our past. We love consecrating ourselves, and I said that properly, consecrating ourselves as we concentrate on the past. We get consecrated, in other words, we get covered, we surrender to our failures and our fears and our frustrations and our futilities. We just get so uncomfortable, we got our cuddly back on. Stop looking to the past. Say, goodbye to the past and hello to your future. Someone shout, goodbye, past! We all have a past in this room today. All pasts are different. We all have our memories of being brought up in homes. We all have our memories of failures and frustration and fears and futility. We all have our character. Sometimes it gets bruised and sometimes it's feeling strong. We all have a history. Today, say out loud to the Lord, I'm saying goodbye to my past and hello to my future. It takes faith, not faith in pastor, not faith in a spiritual friend or a church leader, but faith in God. Because greater is he that is in me than he that's in the world. Without Jesus, we can do nothing, but with the Ephesians 3:20 paradigm, my God is exceedingly abundantly more than able to do all that I ask or think according to the power that works within me. If the power of the Holy Ghost is working within you, you are able. You are able to be in the valley of the giants and see your giants, and God is going to give you a breakthrough. Some of these giants are pretty strong. It may take you to press to get there, but remember what the Lord said. Not that I have already attained or have already perfected, but I press on that I may lay hold of that for which Christ Jesus has also laid hold of me. Philippians in chapter 3, verse 12, verse 13. Brethren, I do not count myself to have apprehended, but one thing I do. Forgetting those things which are behind, reaching forward to those things which are ahead, I press towards the goal for the prize of the upward call of God in Christ Jesus. Paul, writing the church in Philippi, spoke these words of power. He had his own giants that he had to defeat, but he believed God, and those giants were defeated. The word press means that there is an action on your part, a faith in God on your part, that when the giants try to stop you, you need to press on through to victory. Amen. Or you can hang out with your giant or giants that have captivated your life, that have destroyed you spiritually, even though you see yourself spiritual. It has destroyed you spiritually. You have a powerless prayer life because of your giants. All your activities in church, they're just activities. There are no power to those activities. There's no fruit to those activities. There's no addition to those activities. There's no multiplication to those activities. You're powerless. Because what controls you is your giants. Your own personal giants that want to just hang on and keep you living in the depths of sin, living in the depths of despair, living in your failures, living in your frustrations, living in your fears, living in your futilities, living in the past where it was once really good. Friend, the past is over. You cannot change the past, but your decision for a breakthrough can change your future. I've come today to, dare I say, preach a word to your heart. Don't embrace your giant. Don't submit to your giant. Don't
be a grasshopper, be something that's so small to something that's so large. Don't be like the end of Luke chapter 9, verse 62. But Jesus said to him, "No one having put his hand to the plow and looking back is fit for the kingdom of God." You can't drive a plow like this. You can't drive a car like this. You can't go forward looking in reverse. You go forward by seeing what's ahead and knowing that which is ahead of you. God has prepared the way. Amen. He has ordered the steps of a righteous man. And if he falls 7 times, he gets up every time. The Lord is a very present help in my time of trouble. 2 Kings 6 and 17. Elijah prays a prayer for his servant. Lord, as he goes out there to look up to the armies that are there, let him see above the armies and let him see what encampeth around them. The chariots, the angels of God, and the fire of God. Look up above your giant. Look up and see what's going through. God is the Lord of the breaking forth. God has you in a place for you to get your breakthrough. Can you trust him? Or are the giants too big? God wants you to be that person or persons that will experience a breakthrough, a deliverance, a freedom from the giants that are holding you back to what you can become. I know I'm not speaking today to deaf ears. I'm not speaking to people today that have not gone through difficulties. I'm not speaking to people today that do not have giants. I'm speaking to people that have giants in this room. The people that have gone through difficulties. I'm speaking to people that have even had pastors tell you you'll never be anything and to stop using what God has given you. That's a giant. Praise his mighty name. Glory to God forevermore. Even in verse 24, when they went up there the second time. And it shall be when you hear the sounds of marching on the tops of the mulberry trees, then you shall advance quickly. When you advance. What does it say, preacher? I'm glad you asked that question. I said, then you shall advance quickly. Further on into the verse, immediately after quickly, it says, for then the Lord will go out before you to strike the camp of the Philistines. Amen. The Lord will go out before you in the midst of your giants and defeat the sin that is causing your life not to serve God in its fullness. Let the Lord be the king of your breakthroughs. And I pray that God will open your eyes like he did Elijah's servant and he saw what was there. God doesn't want your giants to control you. He doesn't want your sin to captivate you. He wants you to see the fullness of his promise, the fullness of his ministry through you, the fullness of who he is. Amen. It's the devil. It's the lies of hell. It is the giants in your life. It is the sin that you entreat that is keeping you from moving into what God wants for you to be. You need to let the Lord of the breakthroughs do it. Forget what they said in the past. Forget what it was in the past. I remember the Sunday school story, I call it. And I say that only to be a bit humorous in a serious moment of David skipping down the road, found in 1 Samuel, on his way to visit his brothers as the Philistine was on one side at the Valley of Elah. And on the other side was the Israelites hiding behind rocks, and Saul was in his tent, nervous and scared. The king and a little boy taking lunch to his older brothers. A little boy that was in a shepherd's field that got called in last of all. And when Samuel saw him, after looking at all of the other brothers, and Samuel saw him, he said, "That's the lad. That's the one. You may see him as something different, but God sees him as a king."
Yes.
And he anointed him with oil that day. Here's that little boy skipping down the trail with lunch. Maybe he was thinking about those days. He was in recluse now. He was separated. He was still out there taking care of the sheep, and he was just obeying his father. "Jesse, go take care of your brothers. See how they're doing. Bring me back a report." He gets there and he finds them hiding. I don't know what the conversations were all about, but I do know that he was told there's a giant. And he was inquisitive of why they're not defeating it. You can read the story in 1 Samuel 17. He walked in. "Hi, I pay homage to my king, Saul. My name's David. I'm the son of Jesse." He probably went through some lineage to make sure that Saul was quite aware of who Jesse was and what lineage he came from. And by the way, Jesus came from the lineage of Jesse. I got to say this again. The Holy Ghost is saying, say it again. Two things. He said, tell him to forget the past. And tell him that everybody saw David as a little boy, but I saw him as a king. Father, please, let it penetrate them as it does me when I speak it. Saw him as a little boy, but God, you saw him as a king. Saul explained to him what was going on, and David said, I'll go out. I'll go against this giant called Goliath. He said, you can't do that. He says, yes, I can. Saul said, here, take my armor. He tried Saul's armor and he put it on. He took it off immediately. He said, this one won't work. I'm not putting on Saul's armor because he's dealing with his own giants. And there's been too many people in the kingdom of God that have tried to give you their armor so you could walk forward in it. And let me tell you something. There's only one armor that fits, and that's the armor of the Lord our God. Hallelujah. The breastplate of righteousness. The waist girded about with truth. The feet shodden with the gospel of peace. The shield of faith. The helmet of salvation. The sword of the Spirit. He said, I'll use what I have. Saul says, okay, you're on your own. If you're a child of God, you're never on your own. You always got the King of Kings and the Lord of Glory.
Yes.
If God be for me, what should I fear what man can do? It's better to trust in the Lord than horses and chariots. Those are scriptures in God's word. I can do all things through Christ Jesus who strengthens me. He didn't say we. He said I. First person pronoun. I can do all things through God who strengthens me. He went out there. Goliath laughed at him. David let him laugh. Goliath cursed him. David let him curse him. Goliath called him a dog. David let him call him a dog. David just responded, you're not dealing with me. You're not dealing with this army that's hiding. But today, right now, you're going to deal with the God of all of the armies of Israel. You're going to deal with the Yahweh of the armies. It's about time you tell your giant who he's dealing with. He's got you where you are because he wants to show you who he is. Then Goliath witnessed who God is. He was down. And David walked off with his sword in his head and victory. It's about time you take the sword of the giant out of his hand. It's about time you cut off that giant's head so he can't come back to bother you. And it's about time you walk off this battlefield, march off with your shoulders back and your head high, and raising your voice unto God, praising Him for the victory that God always causes us to triumph through Christ, in Christ, and by Christ. Hallelujah to the Lamb of God. Victory belongs to you. Victory belongs to us. As I close now, I want to read a paragraph that the Lord had me write out last night. Today, as any other day, may seem to be overwhelming and burdensome because of the many decisions and battles you confront. You may ask yourself, why me, Lord? You must know that the Word is filled with testimonies that speak of God's breakthrough for His children. Let me intervene. What have I done to gain such pressure and intense attacks upon my character and person? The answer is simply, you're allowing your giants to dictate to you. You're allowing those things in your life to cause you to sin. You're causing those things in your life. You think that everything is glittery and nice and shiny and everything. It's not! Not in the sight of the Lord our God. You must know that the Word is filled with testimonies that speak of God's breakthrough for His children. David knew that the battle would be fierce, but he knew that if God told him, he would see and obtain the victory. God gave him the breakthrough he needed that day, twice. You too can have that breakthrough, which is that force that broke through the dam that was keeping your miracle withheld. Do you need a breakthrough today? Can you be courageous enough to say goodbye to the past and hello to your future? You can pick up the enemy's idols and remove them from your home, your situation, and your personal life. You need to meet the Master at breakthroughs at this altar today.